Isaiah chapter 53. Well, this continues what we started in chapter 52, where it's a song or a poem about the suffering servant, who is really clearly Jesus, particularly in his sufferings on the cross. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. So, if you imagine a desert that's totally dry, and then out of it there's growing up this really green, tender, beautiful plant. In other words, that's how Jesus was. There was nothing in his environment. There was nothing around him to encourage spirituality. And that's how it is. With us, there may be nothing in your family. There may be nothing in the folks you go to school with, that you study with at college, the guys you work with, the folks you sit with in a retirement home, whatever it might be. It can be that there is nothing there in your environment to encourage you. Okay, that's how it was with Jesus. When you look at the extent of his perfection, there was no one anywhere near him. And yet, if you're in direct relationship with God through prayer and through his word, you can grow, just as Jesus did. He has no good looks or majesty. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering and acquainted with disease. He was despised as one from whom men hide their face, and we didn't respect him. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our suffering, yet we considered him plagued, struck by God and afflicted. So very clear that here in the Old Testament, the Jews are being told that they would reject their Saviour. And that's exactly what happened. So this passage is very, very powerful. It's here in the Old Testament predicting exactly ahead of time what was going to happen to Jesus. But he was pierced for our transgressions. So each of us needs to sort of imagine again in our mind's eye what happened when Jesus was crucified. On a hill just outside Jerusalem, on a day in April, 2,000 or more, whatever, years ago, on a Friday afternoon, as I say, on a day in April, on a Friday afternoon, this really happened. That those nails, which would have been very primitive, you can be sure, were really put into his hands and feet. And why? For our transgressions. He was pierced for our transgressions. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, Paul said, and he surely had this in mind. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought our peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we go astray like sheep. And sheep move with a strong herd instinct. Where the flock of sheep go, well, that's where the individual sheep goes. And we go astray like sheep. And so that's why the company we choose is really important. The friends we choose, the kind of people we want to mix with, who you choose to marry, who you choose to share your life with, especially bearing in mind you don't marry a man or a woman so much as you marry a family, you marry a culture, you marry a set of friends. So we like sheep go astray and each turns to his own way. So yes, we do all sin individually, turning to our own way, but we do it because of the flock mentality. We sin like sheep, we go astray like sheep. So it's a very hard call, especially when you're young, to stand with your back to the world, to look at the things of this world, be they at school, be they at college, later on in the workplace. And maybe if necessary, in whatever situation you're in, maybe in family life, and to say, nah, look, I'm not going that way. You guys are going to go out drinking, doing drugs or whatever, Friday night. Nah, I'm not going. It's as simple as that. Because we like sheep go astray. When you look at so many people who end up in big time sin and messing their lives up, a lot of that starts with people getting in with the wrong company. we like sheep have gone astray. But he didn't. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he didn't open his mouth. It's one of the most amazing things about Jesus was that when he was so provoked, he said nothing. And we're told that Pilate marveled at how Jesus could be so self-controlled. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before its shearers is mute, so he didn't open his mouth. I remember reading these words in New Zealand with a sheep farmer. And he told me, because he'd sheared many sheep, he said, yeah, they all go dumb when you actually get them by the neck or whatever and you start shearing them. And he said, because they're terrified. So Jesus also knows all about fear. He had fear, just as anyone has a fear of death. And that's why Paul says that he therefore is able to save we who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, because he went through that basic human fear of death. You think of him in Gethsemane, sweating large drops of sweat that appeared from a distance like blood. He was taken away by oppression and judgment, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living and stricken for the disobedience of my people? They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus never lied. He was never dishonest. He never said a bad word. Yet it was Yahweh's will to bruise him. He has caused him to suffer. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the will of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. So I think that Jesus went through all this, and when he did, it says that he will see his seed. He didn't have any physical children, but he looked forward to those who would be his spiritual children, and that is you and me. That you and me, we really are his children, and in that sense. And so he looked forward to us, that he there imagined that people like you and me, all these millennia, centuries later, would be believing in him and would be thankful that he has brought about our forgiveness. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light and be satisfied. It's quite clearly saying that he's going to be resurrected. Remember, this is in the Old Testament. This is prophesying the sufferings and resurrection of Jesus centuries before it happened. My righteous servant will justify many by the knowledge that he gives, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So we, the sinners, the transgressors, our sins are carried and were carried by him, and he is sharing with us the fruit or the spoil of his victory. He's overcome sin and death, and if we're baptized into Jesus, we also, although we are weak and unlike him, we do sin. Yet if we're in him, and if we abide in him, we shall be more than conquerors, and his victory over sin and death will be ours, and we really will live forever. And that is the gospel.